You're listening to Speak Up on Alaska, and with us today we have Representative Bryce Edgman and a special guest who's familiar to you all, City Manager Chris Laddick. Yesterday, our city manager spoke at a House hearing regarding the wastewater treatment plant. Both of you all were present. Could you just tell me a little bit about what ground was covered and what progress you see being made on getting funding for this capital project?
Sure. I testified before House Community and Regional Affairs concerning the issues that we have with the EPA, and then we have to build a landfill and a new water plant to meet EPA regulations and a new wastewater treatment plant by 2014, and the expense of that, and also to discuss the impacts to the rest of the villages that were on a list in 1979 in the Federal Register, exempting them from filing for a waiver from secondary treatment. So at this point, I think the legislature is going to do a resolution and write a letter to EPA on our behalf. And as well, DEC representative spoke yesterday, too, the Assistant Commissioner Dan Easton. And our point was to raise the awareness of what's going on in the state and to let other places like Bethel and Nome and Dillingham, who are probably going to be having to put in this expensive treatment facilities as soon as they have to put in, renew their permits.
Mm-hmm. And how likely does it seem like this will be a big problem for other other ones of these 76 communities? When I was listening to the hearing, it sounded like Unalaska was actually somewhat exceptional, and I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, EPA has kind of changed their policy and decided that Unalaska is unique and that it's no longer a village and it shouldn't be counted as one of the villages, but we're a town of 3,500 people. Bethel's about 7,000 people. So I think there are others on the list, and no one knows what the list is, or we won't know until they come up for renewal.
Mm-hmm. So it's more likely to affect the larger communities on this list then?
Correct. That's our concern. And we'll be working with the delegation in Washington, D.C., since it's likely that Senator Murkowski will be chair of the committee overseeing the Department of Interior to try to get more money in federal dollars applied to the municipal matching grant program that DEC administers.
And Representative Edgman, do you have any comments on this?
Well, this issue is potentially a sleeping giant for the state as a whole, because like Chris was saying, there's up to 80 communities that potentially could be impacted. So I think the city of Unalaska has been doing a great job in bringing this to the attention of not only the governor but also the legislature and developing a sense of urgency, because you could sit back and look at what's happening with Unalaska and say that EPA in some respects is being punitive. And they're sort of selecting one community out of a great number throughout the states, saying that this community, because it does have an economy, it does have an industrial base, therefore it has the ability to spend, $30, $40 million on creating a secondary wastewater treatment facility that other communities, don't have to around the state. So this is an issue that I think the legislature is awakening up to and going to be a bigger issue down the road. And the unfortunate part about it is that it's likely going to cost the city of Unalaska a tremendous amount of money. And so that's the challenge, I think, ultimately before us is to help the city in its advocacy efforts, certainly, but also to help them find the money to address the situation.
Mm-hmm. And earlier we were talking about the Alaska Coastal Management Program, and I asked a little bit about how this might affect Unalaska. And Mr. Laddick, I was just wondering if we could get your take on this issue.
Sure. I guess first off, there's been a lot of work put into that program, developing the policies, the mapping, the involvement of the local community in the program. And I would say if the program were to go away, you're still going to have oversight if the city does a project, but the big difference would be if someone else comes to town to do a project, there may be, you may not know what's going to happen until the day they start building it. So you really, it allows the community, other than the city, to be looking at these projects for consistency with the policies of the Coastal Zone Management Program, which just a tremendous amount of work went into the development of the program and getting it up and going. And so I would hate to see it completely go away.
Mm-hmm. And
so there will...
Go on.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. I like to let you finish your answer.
I just think that the biggest impact will be when private industry goes to do a project. Because quite often... we'll hear about things through the coastal zone management folks. Somebody, so-and-so applied for a permit, so-and-so applied for this project, that project, way ahead of the time. So, and it's nice to have that communication locally rather than via Anchorage, DNRs,
Mm-hmm.
So it raises the awareness of the community.
Mm-hmm. And we just got a question in from a member of our community. Tim Mahoney would like to know, this is a question for Representative Edgman. He was wondering that it wasn't completely clear. Are you against or for Pebble Mine?
Well, I have concerns about the project. When I ran for office back in 2006, I ran on a platform against the Pebble Mine. And if you were to, apparently the question is to ask my personal opinion, do I have reservations about a project of this size and scale and proximity to, the last great sockeye salmon fishery on the earth? Absolutely, I do. And there are a number of reasons to be concerned about it. And my job down here in legislature, of course, is to represent the district as a whole. And by and large, the Pebble issue really isn't a driving policy issue here in the legislature. But I absolutely have concerns about the project and about a project that, I'll just throw out sort of a crude metaphor here. If the largest mine in the state right now, Fort Knox, were to be a peanut sitting on somebody's table, well, the proposed Pebble Mine would be the size of one of those pumpkins at the state fair. It's that large in terms of its mineral potential, and being that it's a low-grade sulfur acid mine, we're talking that every ton of earth that comes out of the area there, you're going to maybe find an ounce of minerals in it. So it's going to require a lot of water, be a lot of industrial activity in an area that's smack dab right next to salmon spawning streams and, is interconnected throughout the entire Bristol Bay watershed. So that, I guess, in short, is, where I see the issue.
Mm-hmm. And so this is another question from a member of our community. There's been some interest in House Bill 78, which would create an incentive program for medical providers coming to Alaska. Do you have any intention of co-sponsoring this bill?
Well, I thought I was a co-sponsor of it. My staff gave me what's called the little green slip. I sign it, and it's a bill by Representative Herron, if I'm not mistaken. And so I should be, by now a co-sponsor of the bill.
All right. And I guess also on the healthcare issue, last year, Governor Sean Parnell vetoed an increase in funding for Denali Kid Care, which would bump the amount of funding for people at 200% of the poverty line instead of 175%. Do you think that this will come up again this legislative session? It was a fairly popular bill last time around.
Well, it passed the Senate, and it didn't quite make it to the House last year. There's a lot of support for creating the threshold, increasing the threshold, pardon me, of who's eligible. The main concern about it, or at least in terms of it not getting to the governor's desk, Actually, let me take that back. I'm remembering this a little bit better now. It did make to the, it did pass the legislature. It did get to the governor, and he trimmed down the funding level, and I can't remember the exact amount, but there will be a lot of support this session to move it forward and to get it back to the governor. And what I was about to say is that we're budget-wise in the state, we're in a real interesting situation that we have $12 to $14 billion in cash reserves, but at the same time, there's a sort of a sense of dread around the building here that our long-term prospects with declining oil production and with the volatility in the prices, of course, really doesn't bode well for the state if you look down the road 4 to 5 years, so that there's a real attempt by a lot of key legislators to and the governor to hold the line on current program spending right now, because the budget as a whole is being driven by formula increases. Medicaid is now up to $1.2 billion. The K through 12 formula program is about $1.3 billion. And the state retirement system, our obligations there are just going through the roof. I think it's almost $600 million that we're going to have to pay this year, and looking at that to peak well over $1 billion in terms of obligations that the state is faced with. So you look at the picture as a whole, and then you zero back down on a program like the Dalley Kid Care program, which, again, I think it's a very worthwhile program. I've supported an increase in years past, and I'll continue to support it, but it sort of falls within this larger scope of keeping a lid on things and the budget as a whole.
But wasn't most of the funding for this program that was going to come in last year actually matching federal funding?
Well, it was both, but the state portion, did receive a lot of scrutiny, and I expect it's going to receive even more scrutiny this session.
And we're running out of time here, so I just want to ask you one final question. Right now, the governor has proposed to reduce taxes on oil companies. What's your position on this?
Oh, funny you should ask. We yesterday we had two large groups of people from the trade organization, the business community in Anchorage, smaller, mid-sized companies tied to the oil industry, all advocating, of course, that we go in and do some kind of a wholesale reduction in the taxes to the oil industry. My take on it is I think my position is probably consistent with the majority of legislators on this issue, but my position is that I need to be able to fully examine the issue and to know exactly what we're going to get back from the oil companies in return for reducing the tax level, and also if, in fact, it's warranted. And let me just say that when we went through this issue the last time, we did so in special session. It was a 30-day session. Governor Palin spent $13 million on consultants. We had economic models flying right and left, and world jurisdictions on one map against another map, and this, that, and the other. It was a very complicated discussion. This time around, however, we're going to have more data on the oil companies than we did before, and I don't think it's going to this whole discussion is going to happen during the current 90-day session. I expect we're going to have a special session either this summer or this fall on the issue.
All right. And is there anything else that you'd like to add wrapping up?
Just that we look forward to having the radio show, I guess, every couple of weeks. We do have a toll-free number, 1-800-898-4451, if listeners want to call in and do so to talk with myself or our staff, and also to get on our e-newsletter, which goes out every Friday. And, I want to thank City Manager Laddick and also Mayor Markwit for being down here and doing a great job on behalf of the community.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your time, and thanks so much for joining us, both Representative Edgman and City Manager Laddick. We look forward to talking to you soon. You've been listening to Speak Up on Alaska on KUCB 89.7 FM. Join us again next time, and have a great day.